You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello and welcome to Just Women, our weekly talk show here on Brooklyn's Radio, when we chat with interesting local ladies about their lives, work and subjects they are passionate about. I'm Anne Twist, and this week I'm delighted to introduce three guests interviewed remotely by myself and my colleague Mandy Dineley. In this programme, we're going to be talking about the current goodwill towards small businesses, stress and anxiety management, and a virtual way of offering personal styling. To start today's programme then, here is an interview I recorded recently with Lydia Rumley of The Brand Storyteller.
Lydia, lovely to have you with us back on Just Women. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me back again. It was nice to chat before and looking forward to chatting again.
Yeah, it was lovely to have you. I think it was sort of around December 2019. Would that be about right?
That sounds right to me.
Yeah, I think so. So just for those listeners who haven't heard or didn't hear the previous interview or don't know you, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about what it is you do before we kind of talk about the topic of the day.
Yeah, so I'm a brand consultant and I'm the founder of The Brand Storyteller, and I work with creative and entrepreneurial businesses to help them tell their brand stories. So really to help people to define how they talk about their businesses and present them to the world.
And this is, I think you've been doing this about 7 years now following a PR career. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I spent nearly 20 years working in PR and communications, and I came out of that just over 7 years ago to set up on my own, and just found that it's something that businesses really struggle with, knowing how to define what they're all about.
And I think largely you are working with small businesses, whereas you had a corporate career and you could see what could be achieved with big budgets. But now you're working with small companies where maybe the budget is stretched and they've really got to kind of focus in on what it is they're trying to say.
Yeah, that's right. I work with businesses from different kinds of sectors, but typically it's small businesses with that entrepreneurial streak and with a real sort of ambition to build something bigger and build something exciting. And building the brand is a big part of that.
And what typically are people looking for? I mean, I think we talked last time about the fact that a lot of people possibly mistake branding for being the visual aspect, how it looks, what the logo says about them. But really, it's more about the whole story, isn't it? The backstory and the message and the vision for the future.
There are two parts to building a brand, I say. There's the way that it sounds and feels, and there's the way that it looks. And really, those parts need to come together very harmoniously to tell one single story.
Right. And yeah, and I think, you know, you were saying that last time that a lot of brands kind of get it wrong in that they kind of focus on one side without really thinking about what's the backstory, what's the message, what are the values.
It's really common, I think, for businesses to start with their logo because it's a very tangible thing. And it's when we talk about branding, it's the thing that people relate branding to, which is the logo, the website, but without knowing what the meaning is behind your brand, what the purpose is, where it's headed, it's really hard then for that logo to tell a very kind of consistent story, I suppose. And that's why I always encourage businesses to start with their story first. Once they know what they're all about, then it's much easier to create a visual brand that joins all the dots together.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know you've been extremely busy since you started, but I think particularly in the last couple of years, how have things changed for you? Obviously, we spoke just sort of a couple of months before the last kind of, or the first lockdown, should I say. How has it evolved for you during the pandemic?
I think I've been quite fortunate during the pandemic from a work point of view in that I've been really busy and I've had a lot of clients coming through really wanting to hone in and focus on developing their brands at this time. And maybe part of that is because a lot of businesses found themselves with more downtime, whether that's because their business had been affected by the pandemic or simply because they weren't commuting, for example, and finding more hours in the day to just think about not just what their business does, but all the things they need to do behind the scenes to get it in the best shape possible. And so, yeah, it's been fantastic to work with a really wide variety of businesses that are still very enthusiastic about building something very strong for the future.
I think that's great, actually. And I think you probably hit the nail on the head there. I think so many people in so many aspects of their lives, not just their businesses, have probably got a very long to-do list, things that have to be dealt with there and then on each day. And maybe the kind of the wish list is the second half of the to-do list that never happens. So maybe, as you say, they haven't got the commute anymore. Maybe they're going out running more and thinking about things. It sounds like you've really reaped the rewards of that.
Yeah, I think it's been definitely people refocusing and looking at what they need to do. And I think part of that comes from changing circumstances. The last 12 months really have thrust businesses into all sorts of weird and wonderful situations. And I think as part of that, people have had just the revelation that they really need to get their messaging right and really need to know what they're trying to say to the world now almost more than ever.
Yeah, absolutely. And have you kind of changed the way you work to adapt to that as well? I mean, I know that you had various kind of packages that, you know, depending on individual business needs, and you were starting to do some workshops about a year ago. Presumably, almost definitely, you've had to work more via Zoom, presumably. So how have you adapted your own business?
Yeah, I've always really enjoyed trying to work with clients face to face wherever possible. But obviously, that hasn't been possible much over the last 12 months. So definitely moving things across to Zoom has been a big change for my business. But it's worked really well. And it's meant that I could keep doing what I do and I can keep helping businesses to get to where they need to be right now. So that's been a simple adaptation to make, and simpler than perhaps a lot of other businesses have had to face. I think what I've done in the last 12 months is just to approach things with a lot more flexibility. You know, there's a lot of circumstances changing day by day for different businesses. And I think, you know, my will is to help people at the end of the day as much as possible. So it's been looking at more flexible ways of working. It's been looking at some mentoring with people. It's been looking at reviewing brands with people in a way that I perhaps hadn't done before, and actually looking at how I can support people in the longer term now as well, beyond the creation of the brand story itself.
It's quite interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, I think sort of this nicely moves into what we really wanted to talk about today, which is a focus on small businesses over the last year and the goodwill towards small businesses, in that people are not able to kind of travel to maybe, if we're talking about shopping, for example, up to the big stores. They might be shopping more locally, and just a general kind of feeling of goodwill to all these small businesses that have been struggling. So have you seen that as a huge opportunity for the small businesses to kind of really kind of get their message over in the last year?
I have. I mean, over the last 12 months, we've seen some amazing examples of ingenuity, agility, and honestly, tenacity from small businesses. None of us really expected what was thrown at us when this pandemic hit. But time and again, small businesses have shown some amazing resilience and the ability, we've all seen it, the ability to pivot and adapt under really what were the toughest of circumstances. And I think it's because we were all experiencing this situation at the same time. I'm not going to say we're in the same boat, because I don't think that's a fair thing to say, but we were all experiencing the same thing at the same time. And what I found as a result of that is that there's definitely been that increasing sense of kindness and goodwill that's emerged as a result, and people wanting to help each other out in these very, very tough circumstances. And it's really extended to small and local businesses a lot. And I think there's fantastic opportunity there.
I think that it's really made people think about what's important in terms of, you know, people aren't commuting anymore. They're not going into the big cities. They're not shopping with the big department stores. They're not probably going into their big office in the city. You know, they're having to work from home and go out and, you know, spend money with a little local cafe, you know, maybe to get their lunch if they want a break from the house. You know, they're not shopping in Starbucks. They're not, you know, they're not going to you know, the big department stores. You know, I think people have had to just kind of look just outside their front door and see what's there.
I think you're absolutely right. I think once, with people having to be at home so much more over the last 12 months, we've had to look at what's on our doorsteps. And I think people have increasingly tried to find that sense of community that we just didn't think about so much when life was busy and frantic and we were running around. And, you know, and also when we were going out as normal and talking to our colleagues or talking to our friends and our family. And suddenly all that interaction was lost in a way that none of us could have imagined.
Yeah.
So it's become a part of it now. You know, stopping and talking to the people you buy from has become an important part of how people interact day to day.
Yeah, and I think you gave me an example when we spoke the other day about how you've seen local businesses pivoting. I think you said about a local hairdresser who's now selling sort of high-end groceries or fruit and veg.
Yeah, I mean, I just love seeing that stuff. I think it's absolutely fantastic because, I mean, it's the biggest pivot I think I've seen, a business going from hairdressing to selling fruit and veg. But what I loved about it was there's no sense of doing anything underhand. You know, the produce that this particular hairdresser had sourced was incredible quality, and their approach was incredibly personable and something that I wouldn't get from going to a big supermarket. So it's actually that, and a lot of other small businesses have now pushed me to go out of my way to buy from them. And that's because of the experience that they create, not just the products that they sell.
Yeah, and then you're getting that personal interaction, which, you know, I think we're all fed up of talking to our own family, you know, 24/7. It is nice to get out and see someone new. So I know a sort of part of what we wanted to talk about was, you know, seeing this potential goodwill towards small businesses. And maybe there are quite a lot of businesses that haven't really tapped into this, you know, but maybe a little bit late to the party, and how, you know, they could be kind of really capitalizing on it, on this, and, you know, working on keeping their profile active, and, you know, so that when things get back to normal, they haven't kind of got lost in all the noise, I suppose.
Looking ahead, you know, there's a view to an end in sight now, hopefully, that, you know, in the coming months, lockdown, we hope, is going to be over, fingers crossed, and some sense of normality is going to return, everybody hopes. And even for those businesses that really struggled, or even the ones that couldn't trade at all over the last 12 months, there is an opportunity there to think about how they're going to make their comeback. And that really begins with starting to communicate now, not waiting for the end of lockdown, but starting to re-engage with their followers on social media, with their audiences through their website, giving some clarity as to where they are, where they've perhaps been. Even if it hasn't been favourable, I think that goodwill is going to carry people forward and cause their customers to hold the faith a little bit longer than they might do under normal circumstances. But it's all about getting seen now, being ready to talk, knowing who you're talking to, and knowing what you're trying to say. And that really is the opportunity. You know, I was listening to somebody on the news talking about the fact they predict a really big spending spree when lockdown ends. People sitting at home having not spent money on various things for quite a long time now, that they're going to want to get out there. They're going to want to spend their money in different ways. And the businesses that are ready, the businesses that have their house in order, are going to be the ones that win the race. They're going to be the ones that capitalize and ride the wave of what's going on right now.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, I think there has been spending in certain directions. As you know, I've got a sort of homewares business, and I think people are spending money on things to make the home look good and smell nice and all of that, where, you know, they haven't been able to spend money on things like holidays and going out for dinner. I think maybe people will go out and start spending money on clothes. I think, you know, none of us have really been buying any party gear for ages, and probably not a lot of new shoes and things like that. So I can see those kinds of businesses are probably going to do very well. People are going to want to be going out a lot to maybe eat and enjoy themselves, and they're going to want a new outfit because, you know, they're probably still wearing 2019's, you know, party dresses perhaps. So yeah, I think it's going to be very, very, very interesting times actually. Obviously there's been a lot of people who are going to be out of work or have been out of work or furloughed, so for some people it's going to be potentially a struggle. But I think there's a lot of people who carried on earning all the way through this, who are, you know, itching to spend money.
That's right. You know, I think people are, I think there are always going to be markets for different kinds of products. You know, there certain kinds of products have continued to be popular. Certain kinds of products, as you say, have been on the back burner. But regardless of that, it's down to the businesses to position their brands, to engage with their customers, to create that experience that makes the right connection, that makes people feel good about buying into that brand. That's really what all of us as customers are looking for. We're looking to feel good about where we spend our money. And that comes down to being more purposeful as a business, being more values driven, because most customers these days are marketed to day in, day out, minute to minute. And they're very savvy about that. And really what they're looking for is brands that feel very like-minded to who they are, that share their values.
Yeah. Yeah. All very interesting. I think we're pretty much coming to the end now of our time. Obviously, we haven't sort of focused in on your business as such, because we talked about that previously. But if there are any small business owners out there, or any business owners out there who would like to find out more about what you do and potentially how you could help them, you know, they probably found your advice and sort of thoughts very interesting today. What would be the best way for them to contact you? Via the website, presumably?
Yes, anyone wanting to find out more about what's involved in building a brand story can find me at thebrandstoryteller.co.uk, where you can also find links to my social media. But I think the key point that I'd love to throw in there is building brand awareness takes time. Don't expect it to be a one-shot action, one post on an Instagram page that will suddenly get you back in the spotlight. Make some allowance to really get your message out there and build your visibility.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Lydia. It's always lovely to chat with you anytime, but also on the radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Some really, really thought-provoking messages there, I think. As Lydia said, brandstoryteller.co.uk, I think that's right. And we look forward to having you joining us again. Hopefully lockdown will be a distant memory, and, you know, the world will be back to normal, and we can see how things have progressed, you know, at that point. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Anne. It's been brilliant talking to you again today.
Well, that was really lovely to catch up with Lydia. She always has something relevant to say about what is happening right now and the best way to respond. It's really thought-provoking. Time now for a short break, after which we'll be back with my colleague Mandy Dineley, chatting all about stress and anxiety management with Andrea Smith, who is the author of Fear Less and Live More.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.
I'm so glad you're open.
Thank goodness you're here.
Do you ever close?
Did you know the pharmacy at 20 Church Street, Weybridge, is open from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday to Saturday, and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sundays to meet your immediate medical needs? Our friendly and knowledgeable team can provide you with the advice you need, as well as helping you with repeat prescriptions, all over-the-counter products you would expect, and if you can't get in to visit us, we will deliver to you. The pharmacy, 20 Church Street, Weybridge. We're here when you need us.
Billitong is your Cobham-based biltong and dry vores company. You'll love our fabulous biltong with 16 flavours like wet and fatty, Mrs. Ball's chilli chutney, and amazing dry vores. We also sell amazing boerewors. And why don't you try our party catering? Billitong is part of the Surrey Hills Initiative, and we sell online and at farmers markets like Ripley, Cobham, Horsley and Cranley, to name but a few. Visit our website, billitong.com, or call Mark on 07789 755 504. Billitong, it's time to give your taste buds the taste of home.
Hello, my name's Sarah Chaplin, and every Thursday night I host a show called Jazz London Live at 10 o'clock until midnight, and each week I play a selection of jazz, funk, fusion and Latin. I feature an interview in the first hour of the show with somebody on the British jazz scene, a gig guide rounding up the gigs in the week to come, and in the second hour of the show there's Album of the Week, in which I play three tracks from a brand new album that's just come out, and also a long track in the second hour of the show to help you wind down to bedtime on a Thursday evening. It gets a bit more mellow towards the end of the show. So if you love jazz, you're going to love this show, Jazz London Live on Brooklyn's Radio. If you're not sure whether you like jazz, give it a try. You might find there's some tracks in there that you really love.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Anne Twist, introducing our guests and presenters this week. Our next guest today, interviewed by Mandy, is Andrea Smith, a stress resilience coach.
Welcome to the show, Andrea.
Thank you so much, Mandy. I'm so excited and I love being here with you.
Oh, it's fantastic. I love it. We've known each other quite a while, haven't we? So I was really pleased to have you here today. Now, Andrea, can you just, before we go into what you're doing now, could you give us a little bit of background and tell us how you got to be doing what you're doing now?
Yes, Mandy, for years I worked as a registered nurse in this area that we live in Surrey, in Frimley Park. And for years, patients have come in and they were on quite heavy, some of them mild to heavy antidepressants because they were stressed, they were anxious. And I always thought that maybe I could do something for them. So I started to research and look around. I couldn't actually find a book that... It's quite easy to pick up, drop down with tips and techniques, really a self-help book that people could use in their daily life. So I thought, why don't I write one? And, you know, then people can use those techniques, be in control of their stress and not, you know, try to reduce the amount of antidepressants and anti-anxiety pills they take because they are not good for your health.
Gosh, so you must have been very sensitive to what was going on around you then to pick up on that.
Absolutely. So let me explain to you a little bit. So, you know, people will say, but what is stress? It comes from an event and thought that you feel that makes you either frustrated or angry or nervous. And your body, the way it reacts to this demand, it can be positive. But when the stress is increased, it becomes very negative and you then try and avoid it. So it's quite difficult. Yeah.
So that brings us on to resilience because you're a stress and resilience coach. So for the sake of our listeners, what is resilience? How do you explain that?
So a lot of people call resilience your bounce back ability. But what I want to give you a descriptive. So, you know, sometimes you go for a walk in the woods and you see the tree that's bent over. And when that tree is bent over, it's still standing. There's new growth there. So it is your capacity to bend back to the center, to become more flexible, not to crack, but allow life to carry on. So, you know, it is that essence that you bring to the world, how you, yes, face challenges, face difficulties, but then how you move back and you bounce back rather than cracking. So that's what resilience is.
That's a lovely way to describe resilience because I think, you know, a lot of people think it very black and white. We're stressed. We can't cope. That's it. And then the barriers come up and it's a real block, isn't it, for a lot of people? Because actually stress can be quite paralyzing.
It is. So what happens with stress is that the more stressed you are for a long period of time, the difficult it becomes for you to bounce back or to return to your baseline of not feeling stressed. It's difficult to recover. It becomes very difficult for you to stay in control. So learning the tips and techniques is key here for you to feel less stressed.
And in your, now that brings us on to your book, which we really want to talk about, don't we? So can you tell us about your book? Give us the title and tell us what we can gain from this book. I love the cover, by the way.
Thank you. So it's called Fear Less, Live More. Now, the reason I wrote this book was that, like I said, lots of people came, you know, to the hospital or I met lots of people in my therapeutic business and they could not cope. They didn't know how to cope with their stress in the positive manner. So I wanted to give people a sense of control that helps them feel more positive in general. And so they can, you know, learn resilience, learn how they can change the way they feel, they think and do and act in a different manner.
So do you think it varies with, I mean, it must do from person to person. Do some people learn quite quickly how to change their mindset and do some people take a bit longer? And why is that, do you think?
So a few people really have the motivation within themselves, Mandy. They really feel, actually, I need to do something to change. And some people, they just struggle to come out of that fog. And that's why in the book, the way it is, it's a part of the book is about my story. A part of the book is about talking about the physiology of why you feel, you know, you're unable to cope, or you feel the fears. And then I give also a case study. And then I explain to people what they can do and end each chapter with Andrea's learning alerts. So they can really focus on what they feel like they can write. It's very, you know, hands-on book. I have some questions in the book and they use their diary to write down, you know, what is going on within them. And once they do that, they're able to get a clear picture of what they need to work on and use those tips and techniques to work on their mindset and feel better about themselves.
Brilliant. And you talk about stress making us traumatic. Stress being traumatic. And I agree with you. Stress is terribly traumatic. But what is it that makes it traumatic?
So, Mandy, when you feel you're distressed by this event or the situation that's occurred in your life, let's take an example of COVID-19 and the pandemic. You know, lots of people are feeling threatened about their jobs, about their financial situation, about lots of things. They feel anxious. They feel frightened as a result. They don't know how to respond or change direction. So they will be sitting in the stress zone for a very, very long time. And this traumatic event can really affect their emotional and their mental stability. This stress hormone that's sitting in their body can, you know, can last a long, long time, can have physical effects, can really change what the way they respond to things, the way they do things. So hence stress for a long period of time, you know, a little bit amount of stress is great, but a lot of stress is very traumatic.
Yeah. And you can see it. You can see it in people's faces, can't you? It's, and do you find you have a group of people that you can help more, or is it a real wide range of person?
I think, Mandy, the first thing that people need to become aware that they are stressed. They need to just accept, okay, I'm stressed. I need to do something about it. They can go to self-help books. They can come to a person like me. They can go to yoga, meditation, mindfulness, whatever they do. It is the key for them. What I call this is helping people with their emotional diet, because lots of people nowadays, you know, work on their physical diet. But what about their emotional diet? So I have a great technique called a reframing that people can use for their emotional diet. And how did they do that? They choose their thoughts and emotions on a daily basis. Because what happens if they don't work on the emotional diet? It becomes an emotional virus. They're anxious, they get angry, they get bitter. Do you know that the Heart Institute did a study and they tested the electrical energy of the heart? And they were able to measure the electrical energies 3 minutes away when that person is stressed. I mean, imagine 3 meters away. I apologize, not minutes. So 3 meters away. And you can, like you said, you can see it in the demeanor. You can see it in their eyes. Even now, virtually, you can see when a person's stressed. So you can manage this emotional diet and the stress through reframing, through looking after yourself, taking a few minutes to look after your mindset and your ability to change your direction and the way you're responding to things.
I would think, Andrea, that you're going to be really busy, or that you are really busy when we come out of lockdown. And people, you know, I know you can offer Zoom coaching, obviously. Absolutely. Which, you know, is massively popular. Oh, how we wish we had shares in Zoom. But I can imagine you coming out of lockdown, you're going to be really busy, because a lot of people are going to need, I mean, I think we all need a bit of transitional therapy coming out of lockdown, because it's going to be a big change for us, isn't it? What could you offer, you know, that to people who are worried about getting out and about like they used to? Even confident people are feeling it.
Absolutely. So I'm going to tell you about a little technique I have. So what I say is that sometimes, you know, your negative thoughts, we call it a negative mind chatter, but I represent it as like your this black widow spider. Now that voice in your head is like, I'm not good enough. Oh, I don't feel good about myself. Oh, I'm not confident enough to try for that job. That's that black widow spider. So you have to know what your negative mind chatter is saying. Know your triggers. Know your fear of rejection. Know and recognize it. Now, I'm going to give your listeners a technique which I call the art of reframing as a life skill. So first is you pause. I call it the 3 P's. First, you pause. You take a deep breath and notice how you're feeling. What what you want, how do you want to think and feel? You know, it's became an ability to just distance yourself from that that's holding you back from what you want to do and just looking at it. Then the second is pivot. You know, you befriend your black widow spider, your negative mind chatter, and you say, I should not think like that. I should not feel like that. You know, I'm going to kill that spider. I'm going to see my spider and make a choice. I will not try and ignore my negative mind chatter, but I will respond to it in a positive manner. And the last of the P's are practice purpose. Now, Mandy, you, like you said, you and I have known each other a very long time. We are unique in our different ways and work differently. But that is that unique essence that you need to recognize about yourself. You are special. I am special. How will you let that shine right here, right now, and not get sucked into those dark situations? Because we will come out of lockdown. We will start to bring, you know, all the things we love back in our life. For you, Mandy, it's the music, it's the meeting up with people, it's the singing and your beautiful words. So all of that will come back. So, you know, we just need to learn this art of reframing as a life skill.
I love that. Now, can you just mention those three P's again, because they are lovely. Can you just say them again?
It's called pause, pivot, and practice purpose.
Oh, you know, the pause, that is so important, and we don't hear it enough, do we?
No.
I love, and I can hear when you're speaking, the passion you have to help people. It just sings through what you're saying.
Thank you so much, Mandy. Yes.
Oh, no, it does. It really, really does. It's you know, we speak to a lot of people and everybody has a passion, and some people just have an extra bit of passion, and that's just so lovely to listen to you.
Thank you.
Andrea, we've got just a few minutes left. I could talk to you for ages. It goes so quickly. And actually, this is quite a long time for radio, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And we have about 16 minutes. But now people want to get hold of you. So obviously you've got the book. Tell them a bit about the book and then your website and email, or what's the best way for people to get hold of you?
Yeah. So my website is www.andreaasmith.com. You can, you know, Google Fearless Live More. I sell the book by myself, and it's available on Amazon. It's available in Kindle. It's not very expensive. It's just a fiver. And, you know, you can email me on hello@andreaasmith.com. Also, I have a Facebook page, Andrea A. Smith, Fearless Live More. I have a LinkedIn page, Andrea A. Smith. So there's lots of places people can just find me and, you know, just want to connect with me and book a call with me. It doesn't cost anything to book a call with me. I will just chat with you for free and see where you're at and how I can do everything in my power to help you.
That is amazing. Thank you, Andrea. So we've got a minute or so left, but you know, you wrote your lovely book. Now, what has the book done for you, do you think, this year, since you've released it?
I think the book has made it clear for me and for the people I am with where we are at, what I can pull out of the book and gift it to them. You know, it's like an easy book. You could just put it in your handbag and pick it out and open it and use one of those techniques. And that's the way I need people to look at that book.
And I suppose really, because you've put it in stages, there's no sense of overwhelm, is there? They can take it and read it day by day and help them.
Yes.
Andrea, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I look forward to speaking to you again. You'll come back and let us know in 6 months' time how the book's doing, I hope.
Absolutely. So everybody who wants to buy the book, it's called Fearless, Live More by Andrea A. Smith. Thank you so much, Mandy. I've enjoyed this a lot.
Me too. It's been lovely. And I would really suggest going and buying the book. The cover itself is gorgeous. So I wish you lots of luck with that. And when we get out and about, you can sell it in person. Hooray!
Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you, Mandy. And also to Andrea. Plenty for us there to think about, I'm sure, particularly in these stressful times. It's time now for another break, but please do stay with us as I'll be back chatting with Emma Hsu, who is a personal stylist.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio.
Set on the banks of the River Thames in the village of Thamesditton, Home of Compassion is a Grade 2 listed mansion with all the amenities of a modern home. We offer residential, nursing and dementia care, providing short stays, convalescent care and long-term care for individuals or couples. We have a range of first-class activities and facilities, from the orangery, the relaxing lounges, the cinema or hair salon, to the beautiful gardens where you can relax or entertain friends and family and enjoy stunning views of Hampton Court Palace. Visit the Home of Compassion website to learn more about our award-winning care.
When you're looking to send important documents and packages, don't settle for second best. Choose Mailboxes etc. in Church Street, Weybridge. We offer you high street access to fast, reliable and internet trackable delivery services from world-class couriers, including UPS, FedEx, Parcelforce and DHL. We also offer a range of Royal Mail services and can pack your shipment so that it arrives safely. Around the corner, around the country or around the world, big or small, Mailboxes etc. in Weybridge can collect, pack and ship it all.
Sound familiar? With more people working at home and less time to worry about our posture, it's unsurprising that back and neck pain, migraines and sciatica are all on the rise. Luckily, there's somewhere that's got your back. West Chiropractic in West Byfleet prides itself on being a practice helping people from Surrey and beyond with enthusiasm, experience and expertise. With plenty of five-star reviews, it's a place you truly can trust. Book a free discovery visit now to speak with one of their expert chiropractors and find out how to move forward with a program tailored to your situation. Visit them online at westchiropractic.co.uk.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Anne Twist, and I'm delighted now to introduce my interview from last summer with Emma Hsu, who is a personal stylist.
Emma Hsu, lovely to talk with you again on Brooklands Radio. How are you?
I'm good. How are you during this slightly unusual time that we're in?
It's all very unusual, isn't it? In fact, Emma, you are our first Zoom interview, so it's great to see you there in your bedroom, I think it is. So you joined us about a year ago, I think it was, to tell us about your business, which was emmashoe.com, your personal styling business. Just for those listeners who don't know you, let's just tell us a little bit about what you do or what you were doing then. And
yeah, so I've rebranded since we met, actually. So it's, I'm known as Emma Hsu, but my new brand is stylingyouwell.com, because I used to say Emma Hsu styling you, and I always knew I needed an extra word. And the well for me is all about wellness, how I help my clients feel during and after the process. So it's a transformation process. I'm a personal stylist who helps women, mostly ambitious professional women of a certain kind of age, probably from sort of 35 to sort of up to 60-ish. And I really help women who are a bit stuck with their wardrobe. They're having a career change. They've had some sort of life change, like a divorce. They're going through the menopause. You know, something that's affected their confidence and they've, you know, body changes, whatever, maybe an illness. And they've got to a point where they're just stuck with their wardrobe and they're getting no joy at all from their clothes. And it really starts to eat away at their confidence.
I had a look at your website before we spoke. And obviously I've seen your previous website and having had a look at the new one, the message is so much clearer. If I was, you know, somebody new coming to the website, self-confidence is the name of the game here, isn't it? The other thing which really stuck out for me was buy less and wear more. It's not just about going out and spending fortune. It's about making the most of what you've got already, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is. And I've always been about that. And I've always said to people who've come to me, oh, can we do book a shopping session? No, can we do your wardrobe first? Oh, no, I've got nothing in my wardrobe. I bet you have. And I'd say 99%, I think there was one client who'd been very ill and had a massive weight change. So for her, she really did have to go shopping. But every single other person I've worked with, they've always been amazed because I've been able to create new outfits from current existing ones. And I've left them feeling like they've got a new wardrobe with their existing things. And then what I will do is write a wish list. So where there are key gaps, where there is an amazing dress but nothing to style it with, maybe not the right shoes or, you know, bag or jacket or whatever, then we write a key wish list so that when they shop going forward, they shop with purpose, they shop with a focus, they can search for that item and then they can find the one that they really truly love. And that means they'll keep it for longer, they'll wear it more, and it will mix with everything in their wardrobe so that they get more value per wear. And that is one of the key things I help show as well, is how to mix things up so that you don't just wear that one dress one way with those shoes and that necklace, you wear it multiple ways.
And I think a big part of it is kind of making people work with their own body shape, isn't it?
it's not just about making them look like, say, you or someone else that they aspire to look like. It's looking at what works for them and different shapes. I mean, we were talking earlier about this whole thing that loads of us have put a stone on during lockdown and how to hide that tummy and all those vertical lines and the illusion. And so that seems to be a real skill of yours.
Yeah. So as the name suggests, Emma Shu, I'm actually known as Emma Reed. My real name is Emma Reed, but I go by Emma Shu. And the reason for that is I had a 20-year career as a shoe designer, which is something we talked about quite a lot in our last interview. And as a shoe designer, you're looking at lines and proportions within millimetres. So a millimetre makes a difference on a strap, the design of a strap or the top line of a shoe or whatever. So I realise now that my attention to detail and my eye, the way someone puts their collar on, we talked about lines creating shape. And it's not, I don't like using the word illusion, because I think some people think you're sort of creating fakery, but you're not. It's literally emphasising all your good bits, if you need to hiding some not so good bits. And we've all got good bits and bad bits, bits that we love and bits we don't. And it's just showing people how to put their things together and create a style for them that actually makes them feel authentically like themselves as well. I've got clients I've worked with who work in the corporate sector who sort of try and emulate their boss's style, or they sort of dress in the sort of unwritten corporate dress uniform or the dress sense dress code, but they don't feel authentic. And then once I show them how they can slightly adapt it so that it feels like their personality, they're showing their personality without flagrantly turning up to work in a completely inappropriate outfit, you know, then they get it's confidence, and then they get the confidence, then they, you know, push forward. I've seen so many people I've worked with that have gone on to be promoted, and it's not just clothes, it's so much more than clothes. It's deep rooted.
I see it, you know. I mean, I've worked in fashion for many years, as you know, and I always felt fairly confident around clothes. But then when I got to 50, I had a slight career change. I went and worked as an estate agent for a year and a half. But I hated having to dress like an estate agent. Whereas if I'd known you before that, you would have probably said, Anne, you can still look smart and professional, but in your own style. And I've got a wardrobe full of stuff, and I just think, never going to wear that again, because that's the estate agent look. And I think that's the key to it, isn't it? It's making you look like you, but still appropriate for the role.
I love that. I might have to use that on my website. It's brilliant.
Just going to say about your website, because you've rebranded, and I was looking at it earlier. Your photography on there is the best personal branding photography I've ever seen. And you are the best advert for your business. Looking at you on there and the way that's all put together, I have to say, you look so lovely and fresh and healthy, and the clothes are so beautifully put together. Anyone who doesn't know you and they look at that, they are just going to want to work with you 100%. Listeners, if you're listening to this, while you're listening, go and look at stylingyouwell.com. Honestly, Emma, I think it looks amazing.
Thank you. I had such a vision for that website and the new rebranding. And the trick is, if anybody runs their own business listening to this, the people that helped me do that, by then I had enough experience and knew enough people. So I worked with three different people. So an amazing website developer, an amazing branding person, and an amazing photographer. So Eddie Judd did the photography, and Lucy from Fresh Leaf did the branding. And then a lady called Faith Liversedge from Fast Brand did the website. So, because I knew exactly the vision I wanted. But the thing with Eddie, when she took the photos of me, I've had quite a few personal branding shoots. She just has this incredible knack of getting your personality through. She said I was one of the worst people to photograph. My dad used to be a photographer. Everybody hates having the pic, but I hated it. And she said, and all the back shots, I must share them actually, because all the shots, there weren't that many, but the ones that are kind of where she's caught me grimacing, they're quite hilarious because they look so different. And she just had this knack of just catching the moment, just catching my smile. And that's what everybody said. Those pictures are the essence of who you are. And other pictures I've had taken, I don't know. Yeah, it's a real art. It's a real talent. So absolutely. Check her out too.
We interviewed you last time. I looked at your website and I thought, oh, this is a really lovely website, really put together. And it's still up there, isn't it? And I was looking at them today, side by side. This one is just streets ahead. And I just think you're the best advert for your business, looking at that website. And, you know, the testimonials are fantastic. Just looking at through the services that you have on there that you offer, which are the wardrobe sort of declutter, if you like, wardrobe styling, then the personal shopping, and then the personal styling sessions. How have you had to adapt those with lockdown?
Well, quite dramatic. And interestingly, before lockdown, before COVID happened, I have lived overseas. I've lived in Kenya and I lived up north in Lancashire. So over the whole 12 years, I've been styling every 5 years, then three, then I've moved. And every time I've done it, I've thought, oh, I've got all these great clients, but they live miles away now, so I can't get to them, you know. And I've had clients in Kenya say, please, can you, when are you coming back to Nairobi? When, you know, and it's like, well, I can't really pop in on a plane every, you know, and certainly right now I can't. So I had already decided that I wanted to trial virtual styling, even though I actually wasn't sure I could get it to work, because I couldn't, because I'm such, it's so touchy-feely, and I'm so kind of like to climb in people's wardrobes. And so I've done quite a few case studies over the last 6 months. And so obviously the timing's been a bit perfect. And the results have been incredible, and they've shocked me. So the value that I've worked with clients who've worked with me physically as well to do a comparison. And I worked with somebody at the weekend, and she said, it was as if you were in the room. It's not as good because you're not in the room, but she said the way you made me feel and the way that the actual process gave her the same sense of value. So I'm really excited, actually, because it now means I can reconnect with those clients who live far away and hopefully work with them again.
So how would that work then? Would they be kind of opening the wardrobe and go, what do you think of this? Is it me? Or how would you style it? Or how does the process work in practice?
Well, that's why I've had to do the case studies, because I knew there's no way I could just one day go from doing it physically to doing it virtually. So I've had to hone it. I've had to practice work with case studies, which is where you work with somebody and then they can give you feedback. And so I've done that with a number of people to practice, to kind of work out, you know, oh, that didn't work, that was annoying for them or annoying for me.
Sure.
So really it's and that I've actually now put a pack together which I send to everybody before we work together virtually on the actual video call, to tell them how to set up their Zoom call, how to set up their laptop, how to set up their mirror in the room, where to put things with the right light. And then they do a video of their wardrobe and they send me photos. So I've got like a pictorial reference on my phone beforehand. So I can say, right, go and pick out, what's that red thing there? Is that a shirt? Pick that out. Show me that. Yeah. And it's really good. I mean, I still always love to be face to face with people. I'm, you know, very touchy-feely, but that's not going to be possible for a while.
No. And do you say, go and put that on with that top and stand there and so you can see it on a Zoom call? How does that look, and look at the lines and all those kind of things, or not so much?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I think what I've realised is people's capacity for doing this maximum is 2 hours. So I've now split my sessions into 2 hour slots, because it's too long to do more than that. It's quite, I think everybody's finding that when you have your meetings, it's quite intense, isn't it? So
yeah.
So it depends on the size of your wardrobe, how many sessions you need, and whether you need a proper sort of declutter. And obviously with existing clients, I can just do a styling session because it's just a wardrobe refresh. Mm. And then I also do the virtual shopping, which I've always done anyway. And so that's not really changed, but it just means people can then shop online, they can buy the clothes in, and then we can do a wardrobe blending session, which is where we blend in the new things with the existing things to create new outfits.
So I guess what that means is that you might be looking at certain clothing retailers that you think are in the right price banding for that client and the kind of right look, and maybe pick out some things and say, this would work really well with that shirt you've already got. Mm. But I suppose what that doesn't allow you to do is, I know what you're very passionate about is kind of pre-loved clothing as well, isn't it? So you're, I guess if you're normally going out on a personal shopping session with someone, you can say, right, let's go into Mary's Living and Giving and see what they've got that is applicable. Is that something that you're finding is an issue now that you know you're not able to do that?
Well, to be honest, I've built up quite nice relationships with a number of boutiques locally, and that includes pre-loved. So Mary's Living and Giving and also the Secret Wardrobe in St. Margaret's. So the way I'm planning to work with them, I haven't, you know, at the moment we're still doing wardrobe styling sessions, but once I get to the point where I'm doing any kind of virtual shopping where people need that service or want that service, then I've got a way of doing that, which is to get previews of what they have in their shop. I don't see that's going to limit. And also what I can do now, once we ease the lockdown, get eased a bit, I can go to those shops and search for those things.
Right.
Yeah.
I suppose actually now we're coming out of it, that's perfect timing for you. But I suppose maybe 2 months ago that might have been a bit more of an issue. But I suppose you were still kind of experimenting with what didn't work at that point.
Yeah, and I think certainly for existing clients, for them it's great because we already know the brands that work for them. So they've still been able to buy online from trusted sources, from brands they know the fit's going to be good and the quality is going to be good. And I think, yeah, it's just a case of, for me, I would always promote independent boutiques over high street, really, just because, you know, you get better quality. And my buy less, wear more mantra is all about buying a piece you truly love that you're going to wear for years to come. So better to buy a bit better, invest a bit more, but instead of buying five blouses, you buy two or one, but you buy two that you absolutely love.
I used to work with a lady years ago, and she's not really a personal stylist, but she kind of dabbles with it. She was a buyer at Jaeger, and I watched a YouTube thing the other day that she did, and she was saying about getting things tailored, and she was saying buy a bigger size and then you can get it tailored to fit you because it's got all that extra fabric. And I was thinking, God, that makes such sense. I would buy something smaller thinking I'm going to dye it into that. I mean, is that something that, do you encourage people to get things altered or not so much?
Yes, very, very much. And I think, so I worked with one lady who had a particularly kind of big bust. And so if she bought the jacket that fitted her bust, then it didn't fit her shoulders. It was massive on her. If she bought the jacket down in the, no, that the right way around. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Then, so we ended up going for the bigger size jacket that she then got tailored. And the cost of altering it was, it was still quite a lot of money, but it was a really, nice brand that she bought it from. So it was an investment, something she's going to have for 10 some years. And she felt amazing in it. And she'd never been able to find a jacket because she wouldn't have been able to, because her proportions were just not standard proportions. Yeah. So I think if you have got an unusual, not an unusual body shape, but, you know, particularly tiny waist or particularly big shoulders or whatever it is, that's definitely a really, really good, and I know a couple of really good tailors that I can recommend as well.
So. Well, that's good to know, actually, because I think most people, I mean, I don't think I've ever had anything tailored to fit me, but I think it's a very good idea. And even this lady was saying that sometimes it doesn't even have to be a tailor. It could be a seamstress who's maybe a bit more talented than just taking the hem up and fixing a zip or something. So I thought, actually, that's good advice. So this is all sounding very exciting. I mean, I've been watching your Instagram. There's lots of hints and tips on there, isn't there, for different styling ideas. Tuck it in Tuesday and
tuck in your tops, ladies. That is my, I'm kind of, I've met people now who, you know, they go, oh, you're tuck it in top, tuck it in Tuesday person.
Yeah.
And it is a bit of a joke, but it's literally this thing about so many women, and I used to do it myself. We've all got tummies are definitely women of a certain age, post 35 or post babies or whatever. Tummies are most, I'd say 99% of women, that is their main problem area. So what they do is they then buy two sizes bigger. They buy big trapeze shaped dresses. They buy things that create a sort of oblong shape, a square shape, that all that does is emphasizes the bits they don't want to emphasize and makes them look bigger than they are. So I would say tuck it in, you know, and I've talked about the wearing a shirt dress over the top if from the side that still doesn't feel comfortable. So there's quite a lot of tips on my social media about lines. It's literally about creating lines. So, you know, it's not about body shape. Because as women, I think we all change, you know, even if we know what our body shape is, whether it be a pear or an apple or whatever, that changes throughout the month anyway. We have days where we're a bit bloated and, you know, and so I just think it's, I talk about how the clothes look on the body rather than the body shape.
Yeah, I think anyone should have a look at your Instagram and they should have a look at your website. We're running out of time. It's such a shame because I think we could probably talk about this for hours and hours. It's such an interesting subject. It's great to hear that you're, you know, embracing the whole virtual thing so well. Just reiterate your website address so that people can have a look at that.
Yeah, sure. It's stylingyouwell.com and stylingyouwell at stylingyouwell on Instagram.
Perfect.
And LinkedIn.
So that was Emma Hsu from Styling You Well. So lovely to have you on again, Emma. We'll talk again probably in a few months and just see how it's all going.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Hope to see you in real life soon.
Yeah, in real life. All right, bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was great to speak with Emma. I'm always impressed with her enthusiasm for her subject, such a stylish lady herself as well. So I'd like to thank all of our guests this week on Just Women. That's Lydia Rumley, Andrea Jackson and Emma Hsu, and my fellow presenter, Mandy Dynley. So if you know of someone who would make a great guest for our show, please email to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk. We'd love to hear all about them, and to hear about past guests, go to the Just Women page on our website, brooklandsradio.co.uk, and to find out what's coming up on the programme, go to our dedicated Facebook page, facebook.com/justwomen.br. This programme will be repeated at 8 o'clock on Thursday and then available via our catch-up service online. So that's all for this week. It's a goodbye from me, Anne Twist.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio.